Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. This morning I am joined by Evie Witten of Evie's Brinery. Good morning, Evie.
Good morning, Amy.
And thanks so much for adjusting your morning and calling in bright and early this morning. It's not so bright here in Palmer. What about out there in Anchorage?
Quite foggy this morning.
It certainly feels like we've made that transition to that certain time of year, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, I asked Evie to be on the show with me this morning because I'm a huge fan of her business and the product that she creates with Alaska Grown Veggies. So before we jump into that, Evie, I like to get a little background information about my guests and their connection to Alaska and particularly to agriculture. So tell us a little about yourself.
Well, first, thank you so much for the invitation to join you this morning, Amy. I'm a big fan of all the work that you do and the Farmland Trust, and I really recognize that without the work that you're doing, we wouldn't have as much positive outlook on agriculture in Alaska as we do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's the whole point of this show.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Well, and as you know, Amy, my background is largely in conservation, really before I started this business. And I spent a lot of years working for different conservation organizations, including the Great Land Trust, part of the founding group of Great Land Trust, and served as the first executive director for 5 years.
Yay.
And as well as working for a variety of other conservation organizations. But during that whole time, I was growing my own food, and I had also spent part of my graduate school years in a program in sustainable agriculture, and had actually started down a path of a PhD in plant and soil science, you know, kind of directly related to agriculture. And that path twisted a little bit, mostly because of, you know, kind of a not a great situation around advisors and sort of the environment in the program I was in. But I never really lost that thread. And a few years ago, I decided that I was ready for a shift, a change.
Yeah.
And that I had been making my own kimchi simply as a way to preserve, a delicious way to preserve my own garden produce. And, you know, without a lot of truly cold storage, I needed a better way to store it. And so I had been putting up cases and cases and cases of kimchi for a long time. And I decided that that would be a really great way to be involved in helping to promote agriculture, but also just general health here in Alaska. I think we've had a lot of press lately about how we are relatively food insecure relative to other parts of the country and the world.
Excellent.
And it's always seemed to me like, oh, we could grow more and we could preserve more and make it really available and delicious more of the year. So that's really how I started this business, really as a sort of a, with that mission in mind and with the desire to do something really kind of truly different with my time.
Yeah. Yeah. So Evie, are you from Alaska originally, or are you an import like so many of us?
I'm an import.
Okay.
I grew up in Vermont, and yeah, grew up in a family that where we very much grew most of the fruits and vegetables that we ate throughout the year. And my mom was still is an uber preserver of food. But interestingly, she doesn't ferment foods. She cans and she freezes and she dehydrates. Oh. Fermenting is really something that I learned here in Alaska a long time ago, 25 plus years ago.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's jump right into this whole brinery business and the fermenting of foods. And you know, I am like a layman in this world. I don't know anything, Evie. I've never done it. I eat it. I love your products, but I have no idea the process. So let's take us through it. What is Evie's Brinery, and what are you doing with these delicious vegetables?
Well, it's actually a relatively simple process, which is partly why I love it and part of the beauty of it, I think. It is a method of preserving foods that's been around for centuries. It's really the oldest food preservation technique in the world, we think. Cultures throughout the world ferment foods. And it's really a process, in the case of vegetables, of letting the bacteria that naturally occur on the surface of vegetables, letting them do their work, and promoting a path of developing a good suite of bacteria by adding salt. So what I do is I chop the various vegetables. First I give them a rinse. I wash them to the degree that they need, and I chop them and mix together whatever combination of vegetables and spices, and I add salt. And the salt serves to first break down the cell walls within the vegetables and releases the naturally occurring moisture, draws out the water from the vegetable and creates a natural brine. And that natural brine, the salt environment, creates an environment that drives the acidity down. And so it ends up being a relatively acidic process that promotes the longevity of lactobacillus bacteria, which are beneficial bacteria to humans, and drives out any non-beneficial bacteria. Okay. And so after I add salt and let the mixture sit and draw out the brine, I pack the vegetables and the brine in a crock, and they sit, and then they get an airtight lid on the crock, and they sit at room temperature from anywhere from a week to 5 or 6 weeks, depending upon the vegetable.
Oh, wow.
Most of the vegetables that I use, I tend to use more of the storage crops, cabbage and carrots and beets, turnips. Those are sort of the more winter hardy vegetables. Those take longer to ferment than some of the more tender summer vegetables.
Sure.
So they take longer to ferment. Things like Napa cabbage or bok choy that I use in the summer, those ferment relatively quickly. So after sitting in the crock, at room temperature until they've reached the right level of acidity, and I check it with a pH meter.
Okay.
But you can smell it and taste it. It's really, home fermenters will tell you that you can tell when they're ready. But at the brinery, I follow the safe food procedures and use a pH meter. And
sure.
and then once they've reached fermentation point that I want, I pack them in jars. They get an airtight lid, and then I store them under refrigeration, which slows down the fermentation process. It doesn't stop it, but it slows it down measurably.
So how many different products are you selling now, Evie? What did you start with? I guess, like, how long has the business been around, and what products did you start with, and where are you at now?
It's been around about 2 years, and with me another year before that, sort of more in testing mode.
Sure.
And I started with 5 main products, and I still have those same 5. Those are my regular products that I try to have available year round. Some people who are fans of the ginger, citrus, carrots would be pointing out now that I did run out this year.
Uh-oh.
But luckily we have the fresh harvest, and they're coming back online. But theoretically, I have those 5 different mixtures, different flavors available year round, and then I also have seasonal flavors that I add during the year, just depending upon what is available. And that's been a lot of fun for me, because it's a chance for me to put out different recipes and see how people like them, and to try different things. And or if I get a call from a producer who says, wow, I have a lot of cauliflower, or, can you do anything with extra green onions?
Yeah.
That gives me a chance to do something creative with what's available.
Absolutely. Well, I want to interrupt you for just a second to remind folks that they are listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm the host, Amy Pettit, and this morning my guest is Evie Witten of Evie's Brinery. And we're just getting into some of the specifics about the brinery. So tell us what those 5 kind of household flavors are, Evie.
So the first is Alaska kimchi, and I call it Alaska kimchi because it's definitely an Alaska version, meaning that I use what's most readily available. There are carrots involved in that kimchi, and some kimchi recipes don't include carrots.
Okay.
But that's it's a relatively spicy kimchi. And then there is a lemon dill kraut, which is the most traditional kraut that I make, with a nice green cabbage, ginger, citrus carrots, and those are just beautiful bright green, bright orange carrots, and with ginger and some lemon juice. And then there's a ruby red cabbage, which is a red purple cabbage mixture with ginger, and then one called kale, carrot, and cumin, which is a mixture of kale, green cabbage, and carrots, spiced with cumin and hot pepper, and that's also slightly spicy.
Yeah, I think that one is my favorite. I love them all, but that one is the one that I go through the most of. And so you mentioned working with producers, and you know, producers call you and if they're long on product, et cetera. So how did you establish those relationships with growers? And did you start at farmers market or did you jump right into like retail?
Yeah, so the relationship with different growers and farmers has been really a fun part of it for me to get to know. I already knew some of the growers from just living here for a long time and you know, being a customer at the farmers markets. But that's been fun for me. And those relationships have really grown just through me reaching out and vice versa. It's been fun for me, especially this second year, because I start to hear from people who I don't know who say, hey, I understand that you might be interested in, or you might be looking for, a certain vegetable and I've got it available. So that's been really fun for me. I've also worked with a few people in advance, you know, at this time of year, sat down and said, I know I'm going to need some hot peppers, and I'd really love for those to be Alaska grown.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some things that I can't, you know, that I add in my vegetable mixes that we don't grow here, like, you know, ginger. And I also am buying garlic that's grown out of state just because I can't get the volume that I would need. But I really strive to make everything else Alaska grown. So that's been really fun for me to work with producers and plan ahead a little bit. And I've done a few things like adapted recipes where green onions are easier, you know, are easier for us to grow here. And so I've had some people grow green onions for me, and I ferment those in the spring when they're available, and then I can add them later in the fall when I want them in a recipe, which has been a fun adaptation.
Yeah. And then the second part of my question was, did you start at one of the farmers markets? Is that how you introduced the customers to your product, or did you go retail right away?
You know, I went retail right away. The design for this business was really intentionally a wholesale business, but I also wanted it to be available at the farmers markets. And this is really just sort of gets at my own schedule right now. I have kids, and you know, it's not practical for me to be at a lot of different farmers markets on summer Saturdays.
Sure.
And so I designed it to be a wholesale business, and so I sell through a bunch of different specialty stores and groceries. But I've also worked with different producers and some of those businesses to get the product at the markets, which has been really very successful, I think, and a nice way to do it. So I'm selling my product back to some of the producers who I buy vegetables from, and then they're in turn selling it at the markets.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's nice because it allows them to have an extra product that they can sell and make a little extra money, make the margin on it, and it allows me to not try to be at three different farmers markets at the same time.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about that side of it. If we've got listeners out there who are pique curiosity and they want to try your product, where can we find it?
We can find it, well, in Palmer. It's at Non-Essentials.
Yeah, right next door to the radio station. Yay.
Yeah, it's really great. In Anchorage, it's available at New Sagaya City Market. It's at the Fire Island Bake Shop, both of their locations. Formaggio's Cheese in Midtown, available at the Center Market at Alex Davis's Market at Sears. So that's Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays. He has it there. During the summer, it's at the APU Farmers Market. Spring Creek has it there. Fire Island takes it to, I believe Denise at Non-Essentials is still taking it, South Anchorage Farmers Market during the summer. And then there are a couple of fun statewide things. I've been selling through Full Circle Farms for the last couple of years.
Okay.
And then just recently have started working with the Alaska Food Network, which is a new, if your listeners aren't familiar, a newer, purely Alaskan subscription service that's serving different, they're serving, you know, Anchorage and Mat-Su communities, but really focused on more remote communities in Alaska.
Okay. I did hear about them, I guess, when a while ago, maybe when they were first getting started, but I wasn't sure if it had come to fruition or not. I think I heard about it in idea phase. Another thought that just came to mind is the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub that's expanded into Anchorage. Have you attempted to work with them at all?
Yes, I am working with them.
Oh,
and
perfect.
Yeah, so sorry, I just haven't gotten to that. And so I'm working with them, which is another really, I think, nice way for people to access locally grown food.
Yeah.
And I also do work with Kyla Byers, who is helping to run that food hub and who runs the Arctic Harvest Delivery. So she's also been really terrific to work with when I'm looking for, you know, something very specific. She's got her thumb on who has what, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's an outstanding service that she provides. And I feel like for everybody, particularly here in South Central, but I think it's happening all across the state, there's just so much momentum in the local food movement, and not only on the customer side, but even on the producer side and on the small food business side. I feel like in the last decade, there's been such an increase in the number of small food businesses that are sourcing Alaska-grown products, and it's so fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. It is fun. It's fun to be part of it. One of my challenges has been to try to respond to, I've gotten some nice requests from different parts of the state and to trying to get product out to different parts of the state. Had, you know, just someone associated with the Sitka Local Food Network picking up cases of rinds this summer and taking it down there to their market, and which is, you know, which it worked, but it's not terribly practical. So I'm really thrilled by some of these larger efforts that are going to help, you know, not only my business, but everyone kind of get their food out to more communities in Alaska. I think it's really helpful.
Absolutely. And just one more reminder to folks that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm live this morning with my guest, Evie Witten of Evie's Brinery. And we are just enthusiastically chatting about the local food movement and your delicious products. So what does the future hold for the Brinery, Evie? Are you in expansion mode? Are you right where you want to be, or what's next?
Good question. It's a question I've been asking myself a lot lately. looking for my crystal ball.
Yeah.
You know, I would say at the moment I'm right where I want to be, but I am eyeing some growth. I think there's room for it. I'm just really grateful for people's enthusiasm, and I feel like the response has been really overwhelmingly. It's been positive, but it's also been along the lines of, you know, this is what we need. I love that you're helping me access Alaska-grown food in a really delicious way throughout the year, and so I kind of want to react to that by providing more if I'm able to. It's a big decision, though. You know, trying to expand beyond where I am right now would probably need a different facility, and you know, there's some capital investment requirements that would be a big leap for me at this point, or at least a big decision.
Yeah.
So right now I'm right where I want to be, but I'm thinking through those issues of scale and how we might grow it both in size, but also I think in relevance and getting it out to more Alaskans.
Yeah, absolutely. So give us some of the details about how we can find more or how we can follow you. And, you know, you rattled off a lot of different places that are carrying your product, and I'm wondering if those businesses are on a list on your website, or give us some of that information about how we can learn more about the Brinery.
Yeah, they're on a list on my website. And also, I maintain a Facebook page and try to keep that fairly updated with news and, you know, kind of what new products are out there and who has them.
Okay.
And so both of those are good sources of information.
Yeah, and what is the website, Evie?
The website is just eviesbrinery.com.
Okay, perfect.
And you can find me under Evie's Brinery on Facebook as well.
All right, perfect. Yeah, and I tagged your Facebook page in my post this morning about the show. So I was glad to see that you're there. I know not all small businesses make that effort of being out there on social media, so I was glad to see that you have done that. I know that's a lot of work too. What I've been curious to ask you is about how you eat all these different products or how often you do? And like, do you have favorite recipes or favorite ways to showcase them? I mean, I'm just one of these people that when I, like, whatever my dinner is, sometimes I just add a little pile of the carrot cumin stuff on the side and eat it along with things, but I don't really make it the star of the show, I guess. So I'm just curious if you have a favorite way to eat them.
Yeah, good question. And it also has me sitting here thinking I should be, there are parts of my website that have sort of placeholders for recipes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a good reminder for me to go and upload some new things there. So, you know, I do a little bit of the same, Amy, where it's a nice condiment, but I do cook with these different things in that one of my favorite recipes is a kimchi fritter, mixing the kimchi with some egg and a little bit of cornmeal and, you know, basically a little warm pancake, a warm spicy pancake. And we eat those with a little bit of sour cream on top and maybe some fresh scallions. And that's a favorite in our household. And then I also, this is maybe a little bit more on the lines of adding it to things, but we make fish tacos a lot, and that's when I use that kale, carrot, cumin.
Yeah.
And it's a big part of the, you know, there's salmon or halibut in there, but there's the kale, carrot, cumin is a really big part of that. Of that taco. And that's sort of what our Taco Tuesdays look like around here.
Oh, there you go.
One of my other favorites right now is a cauliflower curry, which is one of the seasonal recipes that I have out there right now. And I've really been enjoying that, making more Indian flavored dishes and having that be a, you know, kind of central part of that meal, serving along with lentils or a nice carrot curry soup and having that alongside with it.
Yeah. So in the world of fermented foods, I mean, I guess I've traditionally only eaten your products cold, because in my mind I'm thinking, well, if I heat it up, aren't I kind of killing all the good bacteria, or am I mistaken in that?
No, you're correct.
Okay.
You are correct about that.
But it still tastes good.
It still tastes good. But you are right. And you know, it is funny because I eat a lot of this stuff, and so I'm not as concerned about that.
Sure.
When I'm making, you know, kimchi fritters, just because I like that, especially at this time of year, I start to crave, you know, warm foods.
Right.
But you are correct about that. So if you're in part eating these foods for the beneficial bacteria, which is a good reason to do it, having them cold is the way to preserve those good bacteria.
Yeah.
And
Another curious question that just popped into my head was how you mentioned how the fermentation process continues, right? So if I buy a jar of your product and it's in my fridge and I'm eating out of it, and this happened to me, like a jar got like lost in the back of the fridge and I saw it the other day and I was like, oh, yay, I still have a bite of that. And then I was like, is it still good? Like, how long does it last, or does it just keep breaking down?
Good question. So the fermentation process keeps going, and the speed of fermentation has several factors involved. Temperature is a big one. So if it's in the back of your refrigerator, it's not fermenting very quickly.
Okay.
The quick answer to your question is that the best buy date that I use is 18 months from the date of production.
Wow.
There are a lot of similar businesses that use 2 years. I kind of arbitrarily used 18 months because I'm working in such small batches.
Sure.
I can't imagine that they'd be around that long.
That's right. Yeah. Mine certainly hadn't been that long.
Right. And so, you know, they're just fine. There are a lot of stories out there of people finding, you know, buried jars of kimchi, you know, in Korea that have been around for decades, and they're just fine. They've been kept cold. They're well fermented and fizzy, but they're edible. And some people like them extremely, you know, extremely fermented.
Wow.
But it's the speed of fermentation has to do with the amount of salt, the temperature, and the type of vegetable. The more sugary the vegetables vegetables with higher sugar content, like our Alaska carrots and beets, have a slightly different fermentation pathway because of the high sugars. So it's a complex and really interesting process. But the short answer to your question is, if it gets lost in the back of your refrigerator, it's unless it's been there for a lot of years and you don't like it really sour, it's just fine.
It's still okay. All right. Very good. Well, Evie, you're probably going to be surprised to hear that our half hour is already up. And it's been such a pleasure to chat with you this morning about the Brinery and the delicious products. So thank you again so much for taking time this morning to join me on Ag Matters Radio.
Thank you, Amy. And thank you for all that you do.
All right, great. So go find yourself some Evie's Brinery products. And again, the website is eviesbrinery.com. You can follow her on Facebook. And I look forward to getting my hands on another jar next door from Non-Essential. So thanks again.
Perfect. Thank you, Amy. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.